Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Keeping It Young, where Dave and Bethley share practical lessons from God's Word about marriage, family, and ministry life. They desire to encourage, edify, and equip you as you navigate these important matters in your own life. Well, today, Dave and Bethley continue their study on life and family lessons from Proverbs chapter 2. So let the miles fade away between you and the Youngs as they share their hearts and experiences with you, wherever you might be in the world.
Yes, a lie. Now, sometimes we get this idea of an evil person. You know, we're thinking of a gang member, or we're thinking of a murderer, or we're thinking, of a pervert. Right. But sometimes an evil influence can be a small group leader or a person in connection class who's just sharing their opinions.
Right, instead of the truths of the Word of God.
The point is that when we are embracing the way of error, the way of folly, and areas that are unbiblical, in the words of Proverbs, as harsh as it sounds, that is an evil influence.
Yes.
And so our children have to learn. He says in chapter 1, just going back to there, my son, listen, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He says in the 15th verse, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. Mm. So we have to teach our children, number one, to say no.
Yes.
That protects them. But we also have to teach them to avoid the path of those who are wrong.
Right.
You know, that is hard for our kids. It is very difficult for our child, for any of our children to say, wait a minute, I don't believe that.
Right.
Because the Bible says,
Right.
Or I don't believe that because wisdom says. And yet we have to teach our children, if they're going to avoid evil influences, they have to be willing to say no.
Right.
They have to be willing to avoid those who are wrong. And they have to be willing to take a stand for that which is right.
Right.
And I pray that our generation coming up will be taught to take a stand for that which is right. Mm. Not in anger. It's not that our kids are going to be disrespectful and blow up and harsh.
No.
But a teenager who is willing to say, wait a minute, this isn't right.
Right.
That is not right. And here's why that's not right.
Right.
And I'm not doing that.
Right.
I disagree. I'm not going that way. I'm not going with you. I'm not going to do that. That's what Solomon is writing to us about.
And the phenomenal thing is, sometimes it only takes one or two teenagers who are willing. You get a group of Christian teens together, something foolish may happen. And it only takes one or two of those teenagers to say, hey, wait a minute. No, this is not a wise thing for us to do. It may be something practical and silly. It may be something all the way to what the Bible is describing here as evil. But to have that teenager, to have the fortitude and the truth foundation to say, no, we're not doing that. The amazing thing is they will have other teens in that group who may say, you know what, you're right. We probably should not do that. Unfortunately, they may have other teenagers who will look straight at them and say, oh my word, are you kidding me? You're just being a baby right now. Who cares? It's no big deal. But then that is your child's cue to say, well, then I'm leaving.
Yes. And what we're doing, we're protecting our children from evil men. Evil influence is the evil way.
Yes.
So we have to teach. That's the point we're making. We have to continually teach our children truth, truth, truth. This is what's right. And one of the reasons you have to have tons of conversations with your children is because you want to be listening for the errors they might be receiving. We love our daughter. Our church does a lot of connection groups, and we love when our daughter comes home and shares everything she's learning in connection groups.
Yes.
Gives us a chance to be alert, to say, well, let me give you something to think about.
Right.
It's not that we're being sarcastic, that, well, we're the only ones right. No, we want our daughter to say, wait a minute, now this is what you said, certain peer of yours said this. Does the Bible say anything about that?
Right.
What should be the right response, biblically speaking?
Yes.
And moms and dads, if we're not willing to do that, we are not helping our children to avoid evil.
Yes.
And we're not giving them the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and discretion they need. You have to talk and teach your children if they're going to do this.
Well, you have to listen and talk.
Yes.
And
yes,
teach.
Yes. 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 And then we have to be willing to remove our kids from influences that are evil.
This one's hard.
It is so hard. And you know, just how far do we go with that? I'm you know, maybe we might have to change schools. Mm-hmm. You might have to pull your children out of if a public school is negatively influencing your child in a way of evil, it might be time to pull them out. Mm-hmm. If, and this is a hard one, but if a Christian school is influencing your child in a way of evil, mm-hmm. it might be time to pull them out.
Right.
And we have to think through these things very carefully, because they all have great ramifications. Mm-hmm. They have different costs involved in them. There's financial situations. There's friendship situations. There's mm-hmm. church situations.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, we as parents are responsible to protect our children from evil influences.
Absolutely.
And that might be evil philosophies. Mm-hmm. It might be evil practices. It might be evil people.
Right.
Whether it's a philosophy, a practice, or a person, your responsibility is to help your children to stay away from that and to avoid it at all costs.
Right. And there, it may be that you have prayed about it and you're like, you know what? This is what the Lord has for us. The Lord wants us to teach our children to take a stand in this wicked world, even if they don't have any friends at their public school, or maybe they only have one or two friends in the Christian school that they're allowed to maybe hang out with on a regular basis, but they are learning to take a stand. There's nothing wrong with that either.
And that's not the end of the world. You know, right. I went to public school and I became a Christian in my high school years. And when I became a believer, I was one of those kids that just was all of a sudden all in as a Christian. Mm-hmm. But that meant that I think almost anybody would have liked me. I don't remember anybody that would have disliked me in high school.
Right.
So it wasn't that I was hated.
Well, but you're not belligerent.
It did mean that I didn't have any close friends.
Stand. Yes. Yeah,
I didn't, you know, there was a lot of weekends where I didn't hang out with anybody because there was not really anybody to hang out with mm-hmm. without me having to go to some party where there were evil influences.
Right.
And so it's not the end of the world if your child has no friends in school or none, if it's for the purpose of they're going to do what's right and stay off the evil path.
Right. And it's not teaching your child to, as I said, be belligerent, to be like, well, that's totally wrong and you're an evil person for thinking that. That's not what you're teaching. We will also learn in the book of Proverbs where we do guard our tongue. And we are discerning with our tongue and we are wise with our tongue.
And you know what? It might be sports. It might be a school. It might be a sports team that is negatively influencing your child. Mm-hmm. Very few of you moms and dads will have a child who makes a living playing ball.
True.
In fact, many of us would never know anybody personally who makes a living playing ball. Mm-hmm. And yet we can allow massive influences on a team or a coach who is not spiritual, who is not godly, or who is not a moral influence.
Right.
And moms and dads, you'd be better off for your child never to ever play sports than to allow a sports team or a sports coach or a sports event to influence them negatively in a wrong direction.
Right.
So is this hard? Yes. Mm. But what Solomon is writing about here is it seems drastic because it is a huge deal.
It is a huge deal.
The ramifications are huge. Yes. Bethy and I just would set some things in stone to where we didn't have to discuss it. We sat down and thought through what could we do that would help protect our children.
Yes.
And here was one of our big ones. We just never did overnights. You're just not going to spend the night with anybody.
And that can be so hard because isn't that just like a little girl thing to do? Oh, I want to go spend the night and we're going to have a little slumber party. Or even teenage girls, they just love to hang out. And guys, I don't know about guys. They like to go spend the night with each other. I don't know. But yeah. We just decided if it's not close family and friends, like a need to do basis, we're just not going to do it.
Yeah. And we would rarely make exceptions because our children would just know automatically. Well, our family rule is no overnights. Mm-hmm. And moms and dads, you know, the influences that can happen in overnights are absolutely astronomical. Yes. I cannot tell you the stories on here publicly of young men I've counseled who, because of an overnight, was introduced to something on the internet that was devastating to them as a married man down the road. Mm-hmm. Or in a situation you can, you know, you don't even have to do too much research. There are situations where there was abuse.
Yeah.
Or there were situations to where there was a situation of immorality. Mm-hmm. And it was all because there was an overnight stay in a situation that was not governed wisely and a kid who was not strong enough to handle a situation.
Right. And we do understand We're not absolutely out there wacky weird. We do go away as a couple. And when our children were all little and needed to be with someone, of course, we would have grandparents keep them, or we had family that we trusted keep them. We have had to go away and leave our daughter with some close family friends. But that was not based on, oh, this is your little friend, so you get to go spend the night with them. It was based on, these are godly people and we trust them with our children.
Yes. And when that did happen, in the rare times that it happened, it was also a positive influence.
Oh, yes.
Not an evil influence.
Yes.
So there can be exceptions, but we just tried to set things in stone. One of the things we did that we sat in stone was never alone with other teens in a car. So, you know, teens can be just unwise when they're in a car.
Yes.
And so we just said never alone with other teens. Mm-hmm. And I remember normally that was never a big issue, but occasionally we'd be in a church and, you know, hey, all the teens are going to, you know, something innocent, you know, CC's or, you know, I don't know.
Do people go to CC's anymore?
I don't know. Do they? Maybe.
I don't know.
But they're all going there together. And so we want to invite your teenagers to go with our teenagers. And so your teens can ride in this car with, you know, these three teenagers will take your kids. And our deal was no.
No.
And sometimes it would really throw people. I'm like, well, why not? Well, it's our family standard.
Right.
And are there ways around that? You know, if the church couldn't change it in some way, then yeah, there's a way around it. I can jump in a car and take them.
Right.
Drop them off and come back and pick them up or stay with them.
Right.
And there is a protection in that when yes. Daddy's there. So you just set some things in stone. Beth and I have this thing as well that we try to make this a set in stone. No influence that makes us uneasy.
Yes.
Because sometimes there's some situation where we're uneasy, like, I don't know.
Right, and it's not a spirit of fear, parents. We don't parent out of fear, so the Lord doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but if there is just this uneasiness, you can't put your finger on it, like, no, this is the reason you should not do that, but there is that uneasiness of, I'm just not totally at peace about that.
Yeah.
So if that happens, then you're just like, nope, not right now. We're not going
to
do that.
I would just say better to be uneasy, act on it, and find out it was unwarranted.
True.
Than to be uneasy, let it go, and mm-hmm. later wish you had done something.
Yeah.
So if you're uneasy, just say so. I don't know that I have anything wrong here, but uneasy. We even have these rules. You know, these are just in stone. No contacts without our approval. This is for our teenagers.
Right, on their phone.
On their phone. Mm-hmm. If you get a contact on your phone, we have to know who it is, and you can't get it without our permission.
Right.
And that's just a protection. Little or no social media. Mm-hmm. Our charity is 15, has no social media.
True.
And, you know, she's fine.
She's
okay. Little or no multiplayer video games. Mm. So if your children are playing video games with somebody who lives around the world, supposedly, you may find out it's a neighbor down the street who is not around the world.
Right.
They're posing. And so these are just things we said. And so why? We're trying to protect our children from evil philosophies, evil practices, and evil people.
Yes.
And we're about out of time here. Let's add one more thing to this. Just as long as you can, keep your kids analog is how people say it in our day. I read this recently. If you can keep your children analog, keep them off the internet, keep them off social media, keep them off of a smartphone. Mm-hmm. If you can keep your children analog until they're adults, you very well may help them enter adulthood without emotional baggage, with a happier, more contented heart, and without a porn battle or a full-blown addiction to that which is wrong. In other words, we have to take, Proverbs was written, you know, 3,000 years ago.
Right.
Plus. Mm-hmm. We have to, in our day, in a whole different level, practice protecting our children from evil influences.
Yes.
And evil people. Mm-hmm. And so this is super, super important.
Well, what a blessing. Did you get some nuggets of truth for the journey? I surely hope so. Well, tune in next time for Dave and Bethley's weekly Q&A. Will you do that? Good. See you then. This is Michael Barnett, and if you'd like more information or would like to hear more of these edifying episodes of Keeping It Young, just visit keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a production of Keeping It Young. So thanks for listening, and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.